You're listening to the Voice of Your Brand podcast, episode 21. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Martine Van Stein on creating purposeful content that connects. That's coming up next.
Ready to go behind the scenes and learn what it really takes to stand out as the voice of your brand? I'm Catherine Beck, voice actor and voice coach. And after 20 years of being the voice of other brands, I'm here to show you how your voice is your most powerful tool to creating the impact, influence, and income you desire. The world is your global stage. So get ready to uplevel your voice and your personal brand. This is the Voice of Your Brand podcast.
We will get started with today's episode in just a moment, but first, I want to let you know that I am currently opening up a few spots to work with me one-on-one. So if you're feeling like you are ready to become more visible through a podcast, or if you already have a podcast, but the downloads are low and you want some support on creating more engagement, also feel free to book a call with me. I'm also taking one-on-ones for launch delivery. This is a preparation leading up to a live or automated launch. One of the biggest mistakes I see with so many online business owners is that they put a lot of attention to the messaging, but they don't put a lot of attention into the delivery. So we're not just talking about your vocal delivery, we're talking about all of it, the visual, how we create that personal connection with your audience, your on-screen presence, and really creating an event or experience for your audience that's going to take them on a journey that's going to create that connection, create that intrigue, interest, and wanting to hit that call to action and work further with you by the end of your presentation. So, if that interests you, also feel free to book a call with me. I'm so excited to be opening up some one-on-one spots and working with you on the things that traditionally a lot of online business owners don't think or consider to work on when it comes to a podcast or comes to a presentation. That's where a voice coach can be really powerful and really impactful on your end results. So if you feel like your conversions have plateaued or are even going downhill, or you feel like your downloads on your podcast just aren't going the way you want, I'm taking 5 new clients on for the end of the year. So if you've got a launch coming up at the beginning of 2023, this is the perfect time to start working now. All you have to do is head over to catherinebeck.com/call, book a call with me. We'll have a little conversation and we can go from there. All right, let's talk about Martine Van Stein. She has had quite a journey in her career, from being a fitness guru to a business coach to a marketing mastermind and storytelling extraordinaire. Martine is the founder of Branding in a Box, which is an Australian-based marketing company comprised of multidisciplinary right and left brain thinkers that combine creativity with smart strategy to tell incredible brand stories. The thing that really connected me to what Martine does is she's very similar in how she thinks about creating content is how I think, which is about creating purposeful content that really connects in a personal, genuine, and authentic way to your audience. So I'm super excited to share this conversation that we had about content and branding and all sorts of good stuff. So without further ado, let's roll that interview. Welcome, Martine, to the podcast. It's so great to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Such a pleasure to be here. I love that we get to connect like this. How cool is that?
It is so cool. Maybe we should tell the listeners how we met, how we know each other, and then a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I feel like we're pretty blessed because we've had this synergistic, I want to say romance was the word that came out, where we've been working with the same coach and we've been in the same field and we've been sort of, you know, going through our own journeys in parallel of beautifully cohesive lines. And can I talk about the Nozzies?
Yes, of course.
So we have this beautiful collective. I would say it's a mastermind of of women who are extraordinary business owners doing their work, which we have nicknamed ourselves the Next Level Aussies, the Nozzies. And I think it's through that that our relationship has really flourished, because you can see how, as this collective of beautiful women, we are aligned and on purpose and, you know, going through the same elements, but doing that in such a way that we are there for each other. And I feel really blessed by our Nozzie group.
I do too. I think we're very fortunate. We're like a little secret society of amazing women who came together organically, and it's just taken this beautiful shape just out of this organicness that just, I don't even know how it started, but it's awesome. And it's just great because everyone is so supportive and there for each other, coming up with really great ideas. It is like a little mastermind of amazing women, all coming from different backgrounds, but with, you know, that online entrepreneurship is the core, and it's really great.
It's so good. Like, seriously, I have to be careful not to turn to the Nozzie group before I turn to like the main coaching program and all those other things. It's like, hang on, ask the main group first and then come to the Nozzies. Because I feel very fortunate about how beautifully this has just come together.
But let's talk about you. So let us know a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Do you know, it's an interesting thing. So I've come from a background of the health and fitness space, health and wellness space, 18 years yoga, fitness studios, working for big box businesses. And I always joke that I fell into marketing. Like, I never wanted to be the marketer. It's like a soulless, horrible thing. And what I realized about myself is that I have the capacity to tell really great stories. And in this storytelling, which has always been prevalent for me, about, you know, training personal trainers and helping them to build their businesses and training, you know, instructors and, you know, people in this space, was about how to tell their story in a way that really allowed them to connect with their audience and differentiate themselves from like the crowd. So after being in that industry for a long time, and we were working with a lot of very big and very expensive marketing firms, but none of them really got it. And in the end, I think through sheer frustration, I said to the people that I was working with, just let me do it. Like, I'm the one selling the programs. I'm the one who's in here meeting the people. I know what people want. Just let me do it. And my nameless business was born. And we were doing like extraordinarily well. I was selling, you know, thousands of memberships through these online portals, because I understood what was the thing that connected with someone before they knew about us, and then what was the thing that they really wanted, and how could I create that journey from unaware to customer. And that was all through storytelling. It was always about connecting with them. It was about them, not us. It was about showing that uniqueness. And really, the marketing and the branding just came from there.
Mm. So it was an effortless thing for you to get involved in the brand, in the branding.
It just felt like the perfect step. And so the branding is interesting, because it's funny how we've created a business that I never set out to do any of these things, but here we are 5 years later with this business that has products like branding in a box, that has, you know, Facebook marketing and content that connects and all these amazing things, but they all come from this space of, how do we tell your story? Mm. How do we do that in a way that shines a light on the work that you do, that's aligned, value-based, purpose-based? And the branding in a box came from that, because I worked with beautiful teachers, and I always work with beautiful teachers, and I work with beautiful coaches and beautiful humans who don't know how to tell their story, because we as user collective, we are in our heads about ourselves, because we don't see the light and the gift that we bring to the world. And I think that's where someone like you do for your clients, and someone like I do for my clients, we're able to tell that story so succinctly because it's so clear for us what we can't see in ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. It's that uniqueness. It's about finding that authenticity and that beautiful story that you have to tell, and sharing it with the world of, you know, in this digital world that we live in right now, where there could be 5,000 people in the same niche as you or more, And how do you separate yourself from everyone else that does what you do? And it's in who you are and in your personal journey and your story. And that's a beautiful thing. And I think the more that we can embrace that, the easier it is to stand out.
You're right. And this is one of the things that I love, because most of us who are in business, and most of us who are, they're all pretty small businesses in the scheme of things, you know, we started because we have this, you know, big vision of, you know, having an impact or doing some wonderful work and helping our people. And so I always joke, but not joke, that people do business with people, not with brands. People do business with people, not with logos. They don't care about the clever. They care about how you make them feel. And so in that feeling, if we can articulate that feeling, the story that we're telling is a 360-degree experience of who we are and how we make a difference to people. And that's the beauty and the uniqueness. That's how we differentiate ourselves, because we're leading with our values and we're leading with the things that are important to us rather than what the big guns say we should be doing.
So good. And that's, you know, where what you and I do so closely connects, because coming from a voiceover background, as a voiceover artist, we are hired to be the voice of these big brands. And we're not hired to sell the product. We're hired to sell the feeling. And we do that through our voice. And you were talking about the feeling, and I'm curious, how do you do that from your perspective?
Ooh, I just got the truth bumps. I love those. For me, the feeling is, it's hard to articulate, but it's easy to identify. It's how do we evoke a response in someone that speaks to the truth and the heart of who we are and what we do? For me, I'm a highly visual person, right? So for me, you know, an image will tell 1,000 words. A video will capture someone's attention and their hearts. And so it's like, how do we create that? And it's also auditory as well. So how do we create that 360-degree experience that's visual, auditory, and kinesthetic that evokes a feeling in someone? It could be something as simple as an image. It could be something as simple as a word. It could be something as simple as an expression that captures someone's heart. And I think that's the space where I've worked with a lot of beautiful, I've worked with beautiful designers and beautiful artists. But your brand is not your fluffy logo, and it's not your pattern, and it's not your color palette. Your brand is how those things evoke a feeling in someone. And I think that's the key, where with your work and the voice, you put this emphasis on the feeling and how the voice can evoke feelings by the way that you say things. For me, I love to be able to evoke the feelings by creating something that really connects visually, emotionally, and kinesthetically.
That's so cool. So visually, what are different things that you tend to lean on? You know, is it quotes? Is it the video? Is it an image? How do you start to tell a story through your personal brand? What are the things that you tend to lean on to do that?
Today, it's video and imagery. I think images capture people. I talk about images as being like three layers of images. We have our primary images, which are the images that people remember us by. They're our hero images, the ones that we love, that's on the top of our banners and our profile pictures. We have the situational images, which are the images that put us in context of the work that we do. So they're the images of us being us in all the layers of that, what that looks like. If, you know, if you're a meal planner, then it's you, you know, in the kitchen. If you're a coach, then it's you with your client. If you're, you know, a personal trainer, then it's you, like, in, you know, in the gym or whatever that looks like. And then the beautiful, and this is the lesser known element, are these foundational images. And the foundational images are like the building blocks that tell the story, but they're subliminal messaging. It's like, what are we sharing? What are the images that are not about us, that tell people or share with people who we are at our hearts? They're the things that build the values piece. They're the things that let people know about who we are as humans. And those are the images that people say, well, you know, if I'm not sharing a picture of myself, then I don't get as many interactions. But if you look at it as a whole, all of these things are building blocks to tell the story.
So good. I never thought about that. I've never considered it, you know, because I have always really understood brand from a voiceover perspective, from the acting perspective of the reels that explain where we are positioned within our niche for acting or voiceover, but always thought of it from a place of that and never really from this other avenue that you're talking about, that there you could go into so much depth, but from like the foundational pieces and all the different layers, like there's really a lot that goes into it.
But, you know, it's the same with your voice. Like I've heard you talk about the voice and I've heard you like share how people can use their voice to bring to life their words, whereas the nervous person will miss riveting, whereas the conscious person will put energy and effort into those keywords. It's same, but different.
Yes.
And so the two together are super powerful, right? Because then we've got the visual storytelling and the auditory storytelling. And that's super.
Yeah. That's the superpower. When you can combine the two, then you're unstoppable.
Yeah.
We should join forces.
We should. I thought we were.
We are.
We are.
No, yeah. But that really is it. When you can, it's a very simple equation, but when you can have both of those, that's I think where it becomes really powerful. And I think when you look at those 7 and 8 figure entrepreneurs, that's what they do. They've unlocked that for themselves. And I think potentially that's where a lot of us struggle is we might be really strong in one of those and weak in the other and not aware of the things that we don't see because we're not educated in some of this to some degree.
And there's so much noise, you know, for most people who are just starting out or have not. I heard a really great expression today in my meditation and she said, the goal is not a destination, it's a starting point. And I love this, right? But so we've got these goals and these ideas of where we want to be in our business or in our careers. And so when we're in that space and we're focused on those things, we don't necessarily see all the other layers of that. But someone who's further along the pathway has all of those things figured out. And I think that's the piece about this, I call it this 360 experience, because it is your brand is the experience that someone has with you. Right, it's how do people interact with us, whether that's through, you know, listening or seeing or, you know, being in a full immersion with us, all of those things create the brand experience, which is then the piece that triggers the response. For actors, it's a full immersion. Everything is a 360 experience. It's like, how do they show up visually? It's how do they show up, you know, with their words, and how do they portray the emotion and the energy of the character? It's all of those layers, right?
Yeah. You know, you were talking about, I love to call it the sea of noise, the online space, the sea of noise. And do you see a lot of maybe newbie entrepreneurs jumping into the online space, not really aware of positioning themselves or understanding their brand and who they are and what they do and how that is different to everyone? Do you see a lot of people in the online space that it's kind of like they throw spaghetti at the wall and they're just trying this, that, and the other with no rhyme or reason and no uniformality? Like it's just like you're throwing
content for content's sake.
Content for content's sake. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. And this is my bugbear at the moment. So for someone who I see myself as this content director, and I see myself in this space where I'm helping people tell their story, so many people are like, well, the algorithm says I need to show up like blah, 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 this amount of time, and you know, I need to be everywhere. And actually, the world is noisy and the world has a lot of stuff, And it's not a volume game. Content is not a volume game. You know, showing up is not a volume game. I know that we say the squeaky wheel gets the oil, but in this regard, if your content has no intention, if your content has no real truth that sits behind it, if it's just, you know, I've got to get it out, I've got to do all this stuff, and it's just noise, it actually won't resonate. If it doesn't resonate, it won't connect. If it doesn't connect with your audience, then they're not going to enter into more discussions or conversations with you. And if you're not speaking to them, then they won't become clients. Mm-hmm. And so noise for noise sake actually doesn't serve anyone. It serves the algorithm, but we're not here to serve algorithms. We're here to serve people.
I also find, and tell me if you feel the same way, is that when I see people following all these trends just to, for the sake of trying to, you know, get noticed and build followers and all that sort of thing, and they're doing all the things that they're being told to do to get viral and to, you know, do the trending sounds and the this and the that that everyone is doing. For me, I think I became an entrepreneur or a personal brand to have a unique thought and a vision. But when you're following all of these things that everyone else is doing, how can you truly be a thought leader or a visionary if you're following what everyone else is doing?
Yes. Yes. And to add to that, if we do what they say we should be doing, if we're following trends because this trend is trending, or we're following this pathway because someone told us to, or, you know, we're creating this script or this funnel or this opt-in because the heroes are telling us to do that, and we don't sit in our truth of who we are as personal brands with values and intention, then our stuff can't land. Mm. And so the biggest mistake I see so many people making is we're trying to follow what the experts say. And what that does is it dilutes our message. And in that delusion is also right. But in diluting our message, then we lose our impact. And then we can't position ourselves the way that we want. And one of the things that I love to share with, like, a lot of people that I work with, it's not about being an influencer, it's about having influence. Mm. And when we have influence and we're able to take someone on the journey, that can only happen when we're creating original, disruptive, compelling content that is not cookie cutter, because cookie cutter comes from a place of fear. And that's the opposite of what we want. Do you know, fear-based marketing, whether you're saying doom and gloom or where you're doing something because you're fearful that you're not doing the right thing, has the same effect, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And it really is about, you can take all the recommendations that people are telling you to do, but if it doesn't feel right to you and it doesn't sit with what you're offering, if it's not a match, it really isn't going to land. You're so right. And I definitely have noticed that from my own experiences, is that also, again, when, you know, as entrepreneurs, personal brands, I believe, you know, are a lot of us come into this space because we've got this amazing vision and maybe have different thoughts, think differently about things that are out there. That can be a very scary thing to go outside of the norm. But I think that's what people crave. You know, it's like something different that hasn't been yet offered. And when you're looking at the online space and you're seeing the same things over and over and over again, it's when you offer something different, that's what stands out. There's no judgment on following all the trends. I mean, go for it if that's what you enjoy doing. But personally, for me, and what I have observed and looking at the top thought leaders in the online space, I've never once seen them dance around and lip sync and do all the things. Maybe once or twice, like I've caught one like playing around, but not often. They're not doing all the things.
Yeah. They're not pointers and they're not followers. They're leaders.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid, and this is that thing about, you know, the fear, they're not afraid to own their position and say, you know what, I don't do that. This is how I show up, and this is who I am, and this is a value that I bring, and I'm okay with my own personal iteration with that. And the lip syncing and the pointing can work if you freaking love it.
If you love it, exactly.
If you love it, then do that. If that feels joyful and fun, it's like, yes, I'm the lip syncer from hell, and I'm going to nail that song, Watch Out Beyonce, then you go.
Yeah.
And you own that with everything that it is. But if you're not doing it because you want to own it, if you're doing it because of the shoulds and the crazy rules that, you know, marketers are telling you to do, then it can't work for you because it doesn't come with integrity.
Yeah. There's authenticity in that as well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I've got this thing at the moment about real is a new fake. You know, everyone's saying, oh, you've just got to be authentic. And everyone's trying to be authentic. And what is this, like, real is a new fake? We've just got to be real. And we're all trying to be real. And they've forgotten actually what is real.
Well, the harder you try, the less real you are. It's really about opening up that space. We're so closed off, especially I think when we go online, for fear of judgment, for fear of what the other person's going to think of me or comment or say or do, or if I do this, then what happens? It's like, it can be a really scary place for a lot of people when you're putting yourself out there online. And I think the more that we can remove the outcome and just do it from remind ourselves why we're doing it in the first place, which ultimately for a lot of us is to serve others. And if you're there to serve others, it doesn't matter what one or two or 10 people might say that isn't perhaps what you had hoped the comment to be. If it serves just one person, then you did your job.
And again, that's something that we talk about, right? Because I talk about find your one, because the world is saying, oh, you need 10,000. You need 10,000 followers. You need 100,000. You need to make 1 million impacts. And I'm like, just find one, right? Yeah. Just find one that you're here to serve. Because when you find one, you'll find another one.
Yeah.
And then you'll find another one. And it's like breathing. You can't take 1 million breaths at once. You'll choke. But if you take one breath, you'll get another one. And that's the rhythm of life. We're told that, you know, we can blah, 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 scale and have like these gazillions of people. You can only serve one at a time, and then that allows you to serve the next one. And how hard is it for people to let go of the piece about having to have a big impact to just serve one extraordinary human and be of service to that?
Yeah, that's it. And it's exciting. It's exciting when you can get to that place. It's hard to get to that place. I think also when we're looking at the online space too, we have to remember, you know, the people that are jumping online ultimately probably are coming from one or two places. And you can correct me if you think differently. Either they're there to be entertained, so to some sort of degree, perhaps forget about all the things that are going on in their life, an escape, or for education. And so I think of it, you know, like in terms of what I do, when I create content, what's my purpose? Am I there to entertain, or am I there to educate? For me, it's to educate, but I still think that education can be entertaining. So while you have the primary, you can still bring in the secondary or vice versa.
100%. And if your main channel is, say, social media, social is social. No one is going to social media to be educated, right? Even though we all teach, social is now becoming a show, not tell scenario.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, it was tell.
Yeah.
Now it's not that. It's show, not tell. And no one wants to have the finger pointed at that. You need to be doing this if you want to be successful online. Like, gross.
Yeah.
But, you know, how do we show people what's possible and that's the entertainment in different layers. And then how do we show up in a way that's compelling as opposed to just telling people stuff?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And there's just so much possibility, you know, with TikTok now becoming like a search engine. And you've got your Google and you've got YouTube. Like, there's just so many possibilities. And people are searching for information for people to help them in different areas. There's so much possibility. For somebody who's just starting out or feels really lost where they're at right now, what's like one piece of advice you'd give them just starting out or needing a change of direction? Oh, sorry.
Needing a change of direction?
Yeah.
The platforms change so regularly. So what we know already that what we were doing last year doesn't work. I love people who are like, when I grew this, my sister had a very successful business and a very successful Instagram following. She's got a really large following. And then she created a second business and that business she started 3 years later, and she used the same process that she used to build the first one. So the first one's got 60,000 followers. The second one's got 6,000 followers. They're built 2 years apart. Same human, same aesthetic, same everything, but the way you build is different now to then. So I think the thing we have to be aware of is that it's always evolving as we are, and to not be fixated on the one thing and to show up where your people are showing up, because it's not about throwing all the spaghetti at the wall, right? Yeah. You're better off to pick one platform and focus on that and learn that rather than trying to all the places.
Right. Yeah. So the key, one of the keys really is to be able to pivot, you know, because things change so quickly that we can't get stuck in just one way of always doing things. We need to look at where the evolution is and start to tweak and shift things as, you know, as we go on with time.
Yeah. It's not a set and forget world. It wouldn't be so good if it was set and forget. Just launch your webinar, set it and forget about it, because every month, week in, week out, it's going to bring you X, Y, Z amount of people. Oh my God, that would be so amazing.
Be so great. Can't we just.
I love that.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah. And, you know, I noticed that with the release of lockdown, as people then were able to get back on, you know, into their usual lives, they got busy so quickly and traveling and this and that. We went from being at home and just, you know, stuck indoors for most of the day to now, woohoo, we're free. And it was like, I could see a real dip in my online business because of it. People, the way they were buying or interacting online shifted from 1 minute to the next.
Yeah, 100%. And so we have a way that I did things when COVID started, and that way doesn't work now.
Yeah.
Sadly, but it did so well in COVID.
Yeah.
And I know you had the same. Like, we did some cool things in COVID, and I'm like, well, why isn't this cool thing working now? And the platforms changed, the way they interact changed, the way we interact changed, the way people are showing up in the world. So it's sort of silly for us to think, well, I did this like this, and why doesn't it work now? Because the situation is so different, and we're not reading the situation, we're only reading our device.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. And so do you also find that somebody's personal brand then could evolve over time as well? Where you start may not be where you are now, like, let's say, you know, 5 years down the road, that you need to continuously look at your brand, and as things shift and pivot, that perhaps that needs to be looked at as well.
100%. And I've got a great example of that. I have a client. She's amazing, amazing teacher. When I first built her brand for her, we did two brands for her. We did her personal brand, and then we did a podcast brand, because they speak the same language, side train. So there's a triad of brands, right? So we have our personal brand, which I think is the the foundation for all other brands. And then from your personal brand, once you have a personal brand, you can funnel people into a company brand or a business brand, and you can funnel people into a product brand. But the personal brand is why people connect, and then we're able to drive people into our products and our programs and our businesses from there. Rarely do you start with a company brand that doesn't have a personal brand attached to it in the space that we're working in. So for my client, we built a personal brand, and then we built a podcast brand, and then we built a flow of content for her, and that was beautiful. 2019, it rocked, right? Well, I've just come back on board with her, because what we need to do now is, how do we showcase her brand, which is so different in today's market to how we were showcasing it three years ago? And even with her podcast, like how are we showcasing her podcast, how are we producing her podcast, how are we pulling out the gold from her podcast to share? Because what was working 2 years ago, 1 year ago, doesn't work now. And so this is just how quickly the world evolves.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. And that's what I've noticed with myself is, I think, you know, when people pivot or evolve their business, then you do need to go back and go, okay, let me go back and have a look at my personal branding and make sure that the language is there, that people understand this direction that I'm headed, that all my materials support that, that it's clear for them in all different aspects. And it's fascinating, because I think, who was I talking to the other day about, when you're evolving, people may still perceive you as this one thing or this old identity. So I guess it's a responsibility on you to make sure that it's clear for them as well, your audience, of this evolution of what's going on, and that all your materials, your branding and all of that support it.
Yeah. I think the reason why we have a personal brand, and why I think it's important to build a personal brand over a business brand, is because we can change. We as humans change. Our situation in life changes. You know, we go from, you know, being, you know, single to married, or, you know, to have kids, or to, you know, have a business, to having different businesses, to being focused on impact versus focused on family. Like we evolve and change. And your personal brand, your name, actually never changes. It's the beautiful thing. Whereas if you start to invest your time and your energy into a business brand, you can run a business and then you could change your mind. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've invested all this time in this business, but now no one's got DVDs. Everyone's like, you know, got Netflix, and, you know, this DVD swapping business is no longer relevant. But you as a human are always relevant. And the beauty about the personal brand is that we can always evolve and grow. Your name will never change, even if what you're sharing does. And I think that's where people really miss the impact of having a powerful personal brand.
Oh, I think that's really good, because I know for myself, I found that confusing. That's so good. So, like, for example, let's say for an online entrepreneur, you can be a personal brand. You can sell a program or a course, then let's say you decide, I want to sell a different program, different course. That's your business model in a sense, but your personal brand is still the same. That's still you. You're just selling a different course.
100%. So if we think about the big guns, like a Tony Robbins, Tony Robbins is Tony Robbins. He's the headline of everything that he does. I don't even know all of his products, but I know that if you go at an event, you've got, you know, Unleash the Power Within, like all these other products, but people go for Tony.
Right.
The same with other entrepreneurs I've worked with, like Roger James Hamilton. Like, Roger Hamilton is extraordinary. He's, you know, runs the Genius Institute. He has Entrepreneurs Institute, Entrepreneurs Resort, but people go for Roger, and then he funnels them into his programs. And so he'll evolve and change, and all of a sudden he's doing, you know, the enterprise workshops and all these other things, but he's still at the forefront of everything that he's sharing.
That's so good. I think that clears up a lot of misinformation in my head, and I'm sure it would for a lot of other people, in finding that distinction between being a business brand as well as a personal brand and what that means. I think that's so good. And so it's really about getting clear, not just on your personal brand, but on your business brand models as well. That can be different, but being clear on both of those. So there's two different types of branding.
Three.
Well, what's the third?
Your product, because your products can be different to your business. So you can have your business, or like within my business, I have, you know, branding in a box, and I have content that connects, and I have the social startup, and all of these are product brands, but they all still derive from the Martine personal brand.
Interesting. Okay. Can I just equate this to me just so I get this clear in my head? If I, for example, I work with actors and voiceover artists, but then I also work with entrepreneurs. They have clearly two different pathways. So is it two different businesses, like the actors and what I do with them is like a different business separate to the entrepreneurs, because their transformation is totally different? Is that what you mean? Like two different businesses? And then from there, like, let's say with actors, I could have different programs. With the entrepreneurs, I could have different programs. Is that what you mean? Am I on the right trail?
You're so close. The way I see it is that you're a voice coach, right?
Yes.
You're a voice coach.
Correct.
That's the business.
Yes.
But the products, there's a, you know, there's the All American Actors product. There's your, you know, voice coaching for entrepreneurs. They're products. But the umbrella of that is you are, you know, one of the greatest voice coaches.
Okay. So
there are different products.
Business. So then, for example, let's say I'm the voice coach. That's the business. And let's say I opened up another business, which was like, I'm trying to think of something totally different. I was selling journals. That's a totally different business.
Right. So that is a totally different business because it doesn't fit under the voice coach
yes.
piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But your podcast is another product. So there's you as the voice coach. And then underneath that, there's your podcast, there's your All American Actors voice coaching program, there's your Entrepreneurs Coaching Program, whose name I've forgotten. But all of those are products that sit under the Beckonator voice coach.
The Beckonator. I know. Why do I not have anything that says Beckonator? I need to add that into my personal branding somewhere.
100%. The Beckonator. I love it.
It's funny how it's taken off, too. It's so funny. Just to give some context behind it. So the group coaching program that we are in is headed by James Wedmore, who is a great eight-figure online entrepreneur in our space. And he just, I don't know, randomly in a hot seat one day decided to call me the Beckonator. And it took off like wildfire. Everyone calls me the Beckonator now. But I love it.
And there's something for that,
yeah.
Right? So because it's stuck, then it's obviously memorable. And I think that's important too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is memorable. I love it.
Will you introduce yourself now? The Beckonator is here.
I was literally on the hot seat call last week. Josh, who's up next? The Beckonator. I mean, it's just like, that's just, it might as well be my name now.
I think there's something in there.
This has been so great. I have loved speaking with you. It's actually really been educational and eye-opening for me. And so I know it will be for others who also perhaps, you know, didn't have that understanding of the difference between personal brands and business brands. I think that was great. I think there was one other thing I wanted to ask you about as well, is the difference between branding and marketing. Because that's different as well.
It is different, but they work together.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because people want to invest in one or the other. Often, And I always think your brand is the 360 experience of you. It's, you know, what people, it's not what we say, it's what others say about us. It's how we show up in the world and how we give back and how we contribute. That is our brand. And our marketing is how we portray that brand. It's how we share the brand with the world. So the brand is the what and the marketing is the how.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it. Very clear, very easy to understand that way. I love that. That's great. All right. What makes your personal brand stand out?
Oh, such a good question. James Wedmore is about the non-business business podcast, and I think I am the non-marketing marketer. So for me, I'm big-hearted. I'm impact-driven. And so for us, it's not about the marketing. It's about the connection. Everything for me is connection. So I think my uniqueness is that it's always about the heart of what we do and how we bring that forward in the messaging, in the content, in the branding, because it's the heart and the feeling that will connect more than anything else.
Oh, I love that. That is so good. And I think that's truly what makes you stand out and why I am connected to you and enjoy talking to you and wanted to have you on the podcast. And any last bit of advice, I guess, for people in our world that consider themselves a personal brand, what's one little thing that they could do today to start standing out authentically? Real without fake.
Real, not fake. The thing is, whether we like it or not, we have a personal brand. And so we can either curate it and be intentional about how our brand shows up in the world, or we can get other people to share, to tell our stories for us and have no intention. So if we don't pay our brand attention, it's out there anyway, but we have no control over it. And I think that's the important thing, is that we get to share the truth, the realness. We get to show the things that we want to showcase, and we get to do that from a place of intention. And I think that's the most important thing. Everyone, whether they like it or not, you have a personal brand. You can either be intentional or not. That's your choice.
I love that. That's so great. Thank you so much, Martine. It's been so great to have you on the podcast and have this conversation. Great minds think alike for sure. And it's been such a joy to speak with you. So thank you.
Oh, I feel super blessed that I've gotten to share this time with you and that we've been able to riff. I love that great minds think alike. So thank you so much for inviting me.
You're so welcome. Where can others find out more about you as well if they want to get in touch, learn more about personal branding through you? How can they find you?
At the moment, the most prevalent place you can find me is the Instagrams, so Martine Flanstein. And yes, we've got some content rolling out on the TikToks, but Instagram's probably my primary place right now.
Okay, that's wonderful. And we'll put it in the show notes. Thanks again, Martine. And please get in touch with her and say hello on the Instagrams and the TikToks.
Amazing. Thank you, honey.
Thank you so much, Martine, for being on the podcast. And hey, if you're out there and you're thinking, you know what, I want to create more purposeful content with the podcast, don't forget that I currently have some one-on-one bookings for the end of the year. Feel free to book a call with me. See if we're a good fit to work together. All you have to do is head over to katherinebeck.com/call. Book a quick call with me. We'll have a chat and we'll take it from there. And next week on the show, we're going to talk about some of the biggest mistakes I'm seeing right now with podcasters in their recording style. I want to make sure that all of you out there, whether you have a podcast or you're getting interviewed on other people's podcasts, that you understand how to use a microphone, the proper technique, so you can deliver a high quality interview or podcast that keeps your listeners intrigued, engaged, and wanting to hear more. That's coming up next week. Now make sure to share the show with all your business besties. Let them know what's coming up next week and invite them to tune in with you to learn how to show up and stand out as the voice of your brand. Now make sure you get out there and share that powerful voice of yours, and I'll see you back here next time.